it's probably just going to be us. So I'm going to go ahead.
All right. Oh, yeah.
I got to get up early tomorrow morning.
Yeah, nobody knows what I'm going to ask for.
I want to call the title of this message, Looking for a City. Looking for a City. And the reason I'm using that title is because the other day I was talking to Tim, and we were talking about, you know, Abraham and Clarence Rossi. And Clarence Rossi, you know, he's a fellow that he looked for a point of contact, which I happen to be. He looked for 50 years for this thing. Before I was saved, he had the vision, the first vision. And he saw a man from the backside that gave him a point of contact. And so anyway, we talked about it, and he said, you know, Clarence, he saw the condition of the church. And I had to go to something the other night, and I think you were at the same thing. And anyway, and what I went for to see the condition. I wanted to see what have we got, because I haven't been to anything for so long, and it really hasn't changed, because we still have the same vision, the same whatever that has existed. And but anyway, he said, well, Clarence was like Abraham. He was looking for a city. And I said, yeah. And you know what? So am I. I'm looking for a city whose builder and founder is God, not the things of men. And we have been so caught up and so enamored by the things of the world or in the church system. And we have said, well, this is it, and this is not it. What Clarence saw, he said, this isn't it. And he was in as good a move of God as anything that we have going on. And he said, no, that's not it. Well, anyway, the thing he looked for was the Word of God. And he was in love with God's Word. He embarrassed me with it. It was embarrassing. And now here I am. I'm in the same condition. I love the Word like he did, and it's probably embarrassing to people. But you know what? After you don't care. Clarence didn't care, and I got a revelation, and I'm going to say it before I get into the message, and I don't even know if it's in here. It probably is, but I saw in the Gospel of John, in the first chapter, it says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then, so what people have done, because of the Trinity and whatever else, they've tried to make Jesus the Word. And it does not say he was not the Word, but the emphasis of the whole chapter is on the Word, and especially the first part. And so whatever the Word was came to its own, to his own, and his own received him not. If it was Jesus, fine. If it was the Father, fine. But whatever it was came unto his own. And the thing that they did not receive was the Word of God. It's not actually receiving Jesus or receiving the Father. It was the Word of God that they refused to receive. And so then in verse 11 it says, or 12 it says, but to as many as received him, to them gave he the Word, the power to become the sons of God. Well, anyway, today we have within the churches the Word of God that is unchangeable. It's the same. And I came to the conclusion that the Word has not changed from translation to translation. The basic truths are still the same in all the translations. And so, but what has happened is, like the Trinitarians, they are positive that the Trinity is true, and yet it's not in the Scriptures. And if the Scriptures don't support something, then where do you get truth? Jesus said, sanctify them in the truth, your word is truth. Well, isn't the Bible the Word of God? Well, of course it is. And so, what happened, you know, 17, 18 years ago, I was desperate, and I was crying, and I was praying, and I said, Lord, you got to help, because if you come, I'm going to go to hell. I just, I was positive of my condition. You know what? Maybe I would have. And a voice spoke and said, if you want to find me, you got to look for me where I am. And I realized something that just it hit me. The scripture is here, and we have a choice. Church by church by church by church, we have a choice. We can go and turn to the scriptures and find salvation, or we can go by the doctrines that have corrupted the churches, and we can lose our soul. We have a choice. And so, within the main thing that has to be taught is that the Bible is God's Word. It really is God's Word. If you want eternal life, you go by the Bible. You don't go by these fairy tales and things that have become part of the church. Well, I'm going to get into the message here. In 2 Corinthians 6:1, it says, we are told that we are co-workers together with God. And anyway, which I realize that is a significant word or way for that to be worded. It's saying that we are workers together, co-workers, it says in one of the translations. And for instance, from the scriptures, and it is very obvious that God is so awesome and His will is totally perfect, and only His way is acceptable to Him. What God decides what He wants done, and that is the way it has to be done. It can't be done some other way. So what He wants us to do is to know His will and go by it. And such, no matter how great and wonderful we think that our ideas might be, God knows the perfect way to do things and wants us to do all things His way, or co-workers together with Him. See, if we are not doing things God's way, then it is not the right way. And which makes me wonder about the Matthew 7 people. I've wondered about them many, many times. Because it appears they were doing the spiritual things, the will of God. They were doing it perfect. Lord, we have done this in Your name. We've done that in Your name. We've done this in Your name. We've done all these things in Your name. And so why didn't He appreciate what they did? Well, then we see in a few verses later, in the 7th chapter of Matthew, it says that they that hear the word of God and do it are like those that built their house upon a rock. And so we know that to hear the word and do it is right. And they that hear the word of God and don't do it are like those that built the house upon a sand. Now that is the answer to that dilemma. So what was the problem? You hear the word of God and you do it. You have to do things God's way. Anyway, they were doing things the right way. And Jesus always did the perfect will of God, which it says, this is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. And as such, what was it about the Matthew 7 people that did not please God? Well, in John 8:31, Jesus said, if you continue to hear my word, then what happens is, it's in Matthew 24 and 20 through 27, it gives us the right result of hearing God's word and doing it. If you hear it and do it, then you know. And versus the hearing of it and not doing it. Matthew 7:24. And what about the word of God's, or what about the seed of God's word becoming corrupted by men and demons? It says we are born again. Peter 1:23, not by corruptible seed, which means it's something that has been corrupted, but by incorruptible, or by the God's word in truth. See, that men hear what they are taught is the word of God, but it is not. See, that is what happens. You come to church and you hear the word of God, but it's not God's word. 1 Peter 1:23 said we cannot be born again with the words that have been corrupted. And I ask, is that or is that not what it says in 1 Peter 1:23? So since that is the case, and we can only be born again in of the word incorruptible, which has to be what God actually meant by what He said. See? What God meant by what He said is the incorruptible word. And not the word corruptible private interpretations that dominate today's churches. Then, and hear me out, Is it maybe possible that that many believe that they are born again and are really not born again? See, in 2 Corinthians 5:17 it says, if any man be in Christ, then he is a new creation, number one. Number two, old things are passed away. And number three, all things become new. And I don't know that I've seen a lot of that, including in myself. And see, well, somehow, I don't think we see much of this anywhere happening. It isn't there. In fact, without a genuine love for God's word of truth, and thereby an ongoing hearing of God's truth, it sounds to me like we cannot be born again. I'm wondering how many people are actually born again. You have to be born by the word. Is there an initial introduction start that we've had? And I say, I think so. I don't really know. You know, what happens? You know, it's obvious that something happens to a lot of these people at some point. But if we are being born again by the word of God, that's what it says in the King James, and I like it the way that it's worded. It is worded the same way in some of the translations. It's in a process. We are being born again. Not by corruptible seed, but by incorruptible, which makes it look like is a process of happening, and which makes me suspect that most people who think they are saved maybe aren't. Is that a possibility? Let's take a look around once. What about those that are in the fundamental group that don't believe in speaking in tongues? That's the power source that God has given. God has provided that. What if they disagree with it? You know, that's a problem. And, I mean, you can't tell people that, of course, unless you want to kill them. And I said, or even worse. Well, I don't know what worse you could get, but. And see, organizations and great men are sure that they know who is saved and who isn't. You know, they can tell by looking at them who is saved and who isn't saved by using their own standards. However, their standards are not God's standards. However, and the way that God sees things will be all that matters. What God sees is what matters. And as such, God's ways and God's thoughts are made plain within His Word through the prophets, and especially through the greatest of all the prophets, which is Jesus Christ Himself and His only begotten Son. And by the constant intake of that Word, our nature and ways and thoughts will slowly be arranged or changed to become like His thoughts and His ways, His nature, and will develop the mind of Christ. And that's what it tells us. It says we have the mind of Christ. And I say, speak for yourself, Paul. And in Philippians 2:5, it said we are told to develop the same mind that was in Christ. And so, well, Christ surrendered His mind over to the Father, His mind and His will to the Father. And, you know, and you wonder, well, why did He do it? Well, He realized something. And, which gives us the separation between the God and the man. And the thing is, he said, my Father is greater than I am. So what does He do? He gives His will over to the Father. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. He always surrendered His will. He surrendered His thoughts. He only spoke what the Father told Him to speak. And so, in John 14:28, He said, my Father is greater than I am. And in the co-equal concept of the Trinity, that statement would make no sense. It would create a problem. However, since the Trinity is foreign to the Scriptures, then men have to decide whether they want to go by the private interpretations of men or the truth that is found within God's Word. And this is the thing, Bonnie. God bless you. Well, stand opposed to the Trinity, because there isn't such a thing. And it's not in the Bible. You can't find it anywhere. And when the false doctrine is one day fully exposed for what it is, in of the scriptures, many people will become angry. They're going to become irate because they have believed in something only to find out it's not true. However, I, for one, would rather face an angry bunch of people within their false doctrines and their false concepts than end up one day standing against the angry God of all, of all truth. And remember what Jesus said. Don't fear those who can only kill the body. And then he said, I'll tell you who to fear. And it's like, do we fear God? And I made a statement this morning, and I hope, it was on the early thing. I was crying, and I was fearful. I was in terror, terrified by I felt my consequences were going to be. And then I heard a voice. And it didn't really take away my fear, because now I know who to fear. And it changed the nature of the fear. I'm not afraid of God, but I have the most respect and awesome revelation of God that I've ever had. So you never lose the fear. It tells us that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Remember what Jesus said? Yeah. Well, anyway, I fully believe that statement to the point that I am not really concerned about what men think. It doesn't matter what men think. And see, remember what they told Jesus? They said, well, we know that you're a man of God because you have no fear of the authorities. You stand up to him. Well, his disciples were just like him. And they didn't have fear of him either, and they stood up against him. And the thing is, so what are we going to do? Well, it's a little tricky. It's always a little tricky. Because those that we should stand against a lot of times sound like the real thing. And but God is going to make a separation. He's going to draw a line. And so, but I say, I want to be found in the grace and the mercy of the only one who created all things. We want to be found in his grace. And of course, in Hebrews 11:6, it tells us that in order to actually come to God, we must first believe that he is. Somehow we have to come to the understanding and the belief that he really is. And a lot of people have I hope so, the situation. And since faith comes by hearing, in Romans 10:17, in the hearing of the truth of God's word, and that's what I have put in, but that's what it says. And the words of God through Christ are the declaration of God in John 1:18. Then I don't think that men will ever actually believe in or believe on, or however it says, believe God, without continuing in his word. I don't believe it's possible. When Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples. I don't think that's an occasional happening. I think it's an ongoing thing. Because we see the scripture in Psalms 1, and we see the message in lots of places in the scriptures. I can find a lot of places, especially in Psalms 119. until we continue in the words, I don't think we're ever going to get to know him. And then at some point, and has been here, they will be made free to become a co-worker together with God. And see, there's a revelation in that statement. If we are co-workers together with God, that means we're working for God. We're doing things God's way, not our own way. And I think maybe the Matthew 7 people were doing things their own way. I don't know that they were working for God. And see, the devil has deceived millions into doubting God's very existence. And in Hebrews 11:38 says, of whom the world was not worthy. I want to expand that statement. See, one day, God woke Clarence Rossi up, and he began to see the 2 Timothy 3:5 perilous church condition all around him. Now, I could see it. And the other night, I had to go, and I had to listen carefully. And Charlie said that there was a lot more spiritual input in his jail cell that day than what was going on at that meeting. And but that's what we're familiar with. That's what we're used to. That's what we're a part of. I've been a part of this thing all of my life. I don't want it. I want to go to heaven. And God is starting to wake some people up, like he did Clarence. And what they are beginning to see is scary. However, without a closeness to God's isolated words of truth, I think it is impossible to see the things that God is wanting us to see. I have continued on in the words of God through Christ, and as the reality of these things God wants me to know about are beginning to happen. It is changing and multiplying rapidly. See, we can't ever know God by using human methods. It's not a possibility. There's nothing in me that can declare God. And as such, only God himself is capable or able to show us even how to know him. As such, God is beginning to become someone that I thought I knew my way. I thought I had him figured out. But I'm beginning to know things his way. And I have no idea how he is doing it. It's like it is something developing inside, and it's scary. And it because so many insist upon knowing God their way, they come up with things like the Trinity and today's strange oneness. It is strange. And the thing is, I look at it, I think, you know, I know people that believe that Jesus is God. You know, they got the thing in their heads. It was built out of the Trinity doctrine, and they've never been able to shake it. And so they have this wrong concept that's inside of them. And because the concept sits there, they have to somehow make Jesus into God. We don't have no scriptures to prove it. We don't have any scriptures to prove that he's going to come back like a man. When the Son of Man returns, will he find faith upon the earth? When he appears, we're going to be like him. So either we're going to be gods or he's going to be a man. It's going to be one or the other. And unfortunately, there never is a scriptural support for man's way. No matter how men do it, you can't find scriptural support. And so if men would do it God's way and go by the Psalms 1 and 2 and the Ezekiel 37 and the John 8:31 scriptures that I've been talking about, those are the big ones. I got lots of them, but those are the big ones. And many other verses that tell us the only way to go by God's word, then the Holy Spirit would straighten them out and truth would begin to prevail. What we're looking for is a quick fix. Give me something quick. I don't have the patience to wait, but the Bible says in their patience are going to, what's the word I want? In your patience, your souls.
Save your soul?
Well, it means to save your soul. But in your patience, in your, I can't think of the word. So anyway, truth would prevail if we keep on listening to the scriptures. And Jesus prayed and he asked the Father to sanctify his real church through God's truth and then said God's word is truth. Well, you know what? It took me a while because I have had so many doubts put in my mind by so many people, intellectual geniuses. It took me a while before I realized that this word is God's word, just the way that it is, and that it speaks God's truth. I have discovered that since God is a creator, then God is in charge. That his word is the truth, and this is his word. And I'm so thankful for those in the church that are beginning to see it. And the more I hear God's word, the more it makes sense that it is an eternal truth. And the other day, Tim made a statement to me that really affected me. And he said, and this I've already said this, I'm going to say it again. He said, Clarence Rossi was looking for a city made by the real word of God. And as such, God gave him a glimpse into some things that he would one day do. And now God is putting within us to look for that same city. And while Abraham looked for that city, he never saw it. However, the faith nature within Abraham caused him to see the city by faith. And I'm beginning to see this thing. It's like, has it happened? It doesn't have to happen. It doesn't matter. I can see it. And when God turned me around in Clarence Rossi's vision that he had, and he finally did, in an uncomfortable situation, Clarence also saw the city by faith. And like Simeon, remember Simeon that he saw the baby Jesus? He'd been waiting in the temple for a long time, and after he saw him, and he knew who it was. Well, once Clarence got turned around and he knew that now he had seen the promise, not some great big and great Keith gun. That was not what he saw. He saw a point of contact. Mm-hmm. And he knew that at some point people were going to be falling in love with the Word of God. That's what he saw. You know what? We're not the only ones. It's happening all over the place. And my prayer is, my hope is that God will give us the opportunity somehow to begin to share this truth with people so they'll start listening to their Bibles and get off these dumb doctrinal things. You know that there are a lot of people that are Trinitarians, that are oneness, that don't believe that Jesus is God. There's a lot of them. I know some locally. I don't dare mention their names because it might show up on the thing. I don't dare, you know. Simeon, he knew that God had given him a glimpse into the future. And 40 to 50 years of his wandering was revealed to him by faith as God caused him to see me as a point of contact, as Clarence. And of course, until a voice supernaturally spoke to me and directed me into a 24/7 relationship with God's Word alone, I never, ever even related to Clarence Rossi. It made no sense. He had always been a sort of a Bible-loving, strange duck, to say the least. Weird guy. And now I'm a part of a small group of Clarence Rossi's. We're just as strange as he was. See, God is looking for a people who are looking past this life and by faith understanding are anxiously waiting for Christ to come back. And you know what? It says that he will, for those who love his appearing, he's going to appear for those who love his appearing. And this is in 2 Timothy 4:8. And since only a few there be that find it, then my guess is that most people are not that anxious for Christ's return. There's a lot of people and they're going to church and they're just hoping against hope, hoping that the little offering on a Sunday morning and their involvement in the church is enough and that's going to suffice. And it's not going to do it. So people aren't anxious. However, there will be those who are in love with God because they fall in love with His Word. And this is a thing. You know what has happened and what is happening to me. And I'm a witness of that. I have fallen in love with God because I have fallen in love with His Word. The Word used to scare the heebie-jeebies out of me. I have a great fear of the one who is so big, so awesome, that he created all of the things that exist. But I don't have a fearful, 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 fearful fear. I've got a respectful fear. I tell Dominic, you know, here he is, he's got this brilliant mind that he can, you know, the other day he took this big test and it was a hard test. And they allotted him 45 minutes to take the test. And he says, I was done with it in 18 minutes. And he said, I walked away, I handed in my papers, I walked away, and everybody was looking at me. They went, how could he do it? And I told him, I said, Dominic, you have a good mind, but remember something. The one that created you has a mind that you can't even relate to. He can read the thoughts of your heart. He knows the intents. And so here we are, we're thinking we're so great. And meanwhile, we have this one that created all of these things. See, when men and women fall in love with each other, just as they write letters, you know, that's, they write letters to each other. Nothing. And what happens? And Joanne and I were, we saw each other every day after we met, I think. So I don't know that we wrote too many letters, but if I did, I would express my love. I was in love, you know, and that's what we do. And so, and because the intimate thoughts and the who's and who they really are is revealed within those letters. Okay. And so is the Word of God. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so, inside of these, the letters, inside of the Gospels, God has mysteriously revealed who He is, and in His, within His Word, and has provided His Holy Spirit so as to reveal His identity to those who, with the right hearts. See, this is what it is. Somebody said it's a roadmap. Yes, it is. But I want to tell you something. It's greater than the roadmap. It's not like any other book that exists. From Genesis to Revelation, God has revealed the way He thinks, His thoughts, His ways. And so it's up to us then to take these into our system until we can fall in love with Him. And so He is revealed within this book. And so, as the Word was with God and was and is God, so God has mysteriously revealed who He is in His Word and has provided His Holy Spirit so as to reveal His identity to those with the right heart. Now, I said that twice. And so the first and the greatest of all the commandments, to love the Lord with all of God, with all of our hearts, everything that we possess, and that's what the great commandment is. My thoughts are, can men love the great God of creation in that way without also loving the eternal Word of God that way? We have to love the Word the same way as we love Him. That is the evidence that we love Him, if we love that Word. And especially since he has hidden the great revelations of Himself within that Word. He has hidden. He's a guy that hides Himself. But He's only hidden in the Word. And He said the Holy Spirit will reveal Him to us. And so, when men add other books that are written by men who probably don't actually know God. No, I shouldn't say that. Who don't actually know God. And other men add books written by men to the Word of God, are they still going to get the accurate picture of God through all of these books? And I'm saying, no, you're not. The answer is no. And so instead of knowing the God of the Bible, men try to know the one true God in the concepts that the deceiver has put within the minds and the hearts of deceived men. Peter told us, he said, that we are able to become partakers of God's divine nature by the exceeding great and precious promises. And so, besides, and the question is, does that also work through the books written by men? And of course the answer is no, it does not. You're not going to know God by books written by men. And as great as Dave Wilkerson was, and great as some of these men were and wrote the books, as great as Keith Gunn might be, no, and I'm teasing. You're not going to find God through my books. You're going to find God through His book. And and so we're going to become partakers of God's divine nature only by His book. From my experience, I saw a lot of people partake of Don Burnett's nature. Didn't we? We saw a lot of carbon copies of Don Burnett. And they partook of his nature. So we are sent so as to produce Christians. Those that are like Christ, His nature. Not self-nature. But does God really care? Does it matter to God? I'm not even going to answer that. Of course it matters to God. See, God wants to produce Christians. We are the products of God's great, oh, His creative genius. I can't read my own writing. Hopefully by the time I get these new eyeballs, I will be able to. And we were made somehow in God's wonderful image. How were we made in His image? God's a spirit, we're flesh. But God does have soul. So there's a possibility that God made us to become living souls. It's a possibility that somehow the soul is a likeness to God's soul. Because God has soul. I don't know what that is. Because He says, my soul will have no pleasure in Him. You know, it's like, what does that mean? I don't know. God created the great minds, and He also created the devil. And no wonder Jesus said, I'll tell you who to fear. See, He knew what very, very few people ever find out. And that is, in the beginning was God and nothing. There was a point in time where there was just God. When? How do I know? Nothing existed before Him. And whatever exists today is because He made it happen. The devil was created. The Bible tells us that God created him. And the intelligent fool wants to decide God's existence. Here we are. We're created people. We live for 70 years. And in this time we get so smart and so intelligent that we decide that there is no God. It's like, how foolish do you get? I mean, people have been there, fools that have developed for the last 70 years just like that. I mean, for the last 5,000 years, just like that. 6,000, 7,000, I don't know how long it's been. We are told that God has to humble Himself so as to even to behold the heavens and the earth. And which would include the greatest men that exist with their greatest wisdom, and even the devil also. See, the contrast between who God is and everything else that exists is so great that the human mind has no way to equate with it. That's why God says don't build no images of Him. We build, men build images because they think, well, this is what God looks like. And they have these images of God as sitting on the throne with old, white hair and whatever else. And they draw that from the pictures of Jesus in a glorified state. And, is that what we're going to look like someday? I don't know. But anyway, the human mind has no way to equate. And so yet, He created mankind and loved His creation so much that He gave them the potential so as to become and spend eternity forever and ever in His presence. Now, is that a great privilege? If we understand the greatness of God, that is a great, awesome privilege. And has told us that our eyes will never see in this life, and our ears will never hear in this life, and even will we begin to imagine the things in our heart that God has prepared for those who love Him in the eternity. So we can't even imagine what God has in mind. And we look at the beautiful mountains, and we see the beautiful waterfalls and things, and beautiful flowers. What's He going to have in the next life? And so, now knowing the beauty of things that do exist in this life, and by faith we look for a place that makes us all look dull and dreary, and as Clarence Rossi saw, what men call Christianity today is so far removed from what God is looking for, so that the real men and women of God are embarrassed when they see the 2 Timothy 3:5 situation. That hold the form of godliness and deny God's power. I used to be pretty judgmental. I'm not anymore. I'm not judgmental. I'm beginning to be anxious for those that I love. And there are many. There are people that I love. All those people who used to go to this church, I love them. I love them. I'm just anxious for them. Some of them have misused me. I don't care. I'm going to die one of these days anyway. And so anyway, I just pray for them to wake up to the intake of the Word, of the real words of God. Wake up. and live. And I'm anxious for those who don't yet see the beauty of God's holy word, and to fall so much in love with that word so that they are willing to trade everything of this life for the word. See, I think that where the man found this treasure in the field, remember, and he went and sold all that he had and bought the field. I think that has to do with the word of God. I think that a lot of people don't realize that, the beauty of this word and what this word is. And they're not willing to sell everything else, not willing to sell their doctrines for the truth.
The pearl of great price.
Pardon? The pearl of great price. And as such, I look back and think, how could I have ever believed some of the things that I used to believe without any scriptural support for it? How did I ever do it? And of course, that was before faith that came by hearing caused me to actually believe the Bible was God's word. That, you know, that was before. As such, I have supernaturally been made to understand that men can read God's word without receiving it and believing it. That is a big one. I have been made to realize, I'm going to say it again, that men can read God's word without receiving it and believing it. Just as the Jews read or heard God through Christ. They heard God through Christ. He came and he preached to his own. Whose own? God's own? They had to be God's own. Were they Jesus' own too? I don't know. It doesn't matter. But it was the word that they were not hearing. They couldn't hear what the word had to say. And so, the Jews, see, they were without eyes to see and without ears to hear. And so it is with God's word when and if men are waxed gross, with their private interpretations and traditions and creeds. And so the words of truth have no truth to them, for those without a real love for the truth will never get truth. You have to have a love for the truth. And so when men travel from church to church, you know how it says that in Amos? They go from city to city, they go from the east to the west, or to the north, and they go from sea to sea, and they're looking, what are they doing? They're going from convention to convention, to convention to convention. What are they looking for? To find the truth. And you know what it says? They shall never find it. That's what God said. They will never find it. Because God has brought a famine for the hearing. What do we have? You tell me, what do we have right now? We got a famine for the hearing of God's word. You and I mentioned that to what we're talking about it at the table today, and I said I went into the church where the kids used to go to Christian school, and here's all of these Bibles, hundreds and hundreds of Bibles. Every pew has three or four of them in the pew ahead of it. You sit down, and here's a Bible. And I would move to different places, and I'd pick up a Bible and open it. You know what? As far as I could tell, I was the first one ever opened that Bible. There's the words of eternal life. What they're listening to is going to send them to hell. So men go to hear the truth, and they shall not hear it, because God will hide it from them. That's what it tells us. And men will say, we can prove that what we believe is the truth. And my question is, by what? Remember the Lutheran minister that's going to prove to us that he knew that the babies were baptized in the Bible? Because he saw it on tombstones.
That sounds like a dead religion.
Remember that, Joe? He was a Lutheran minister. He was trying to prove to us, and he had all of these clips of tombstones. And I thought, what does that have to do with any truth? My question is, see, since truth comes by revelation and discernment in and of the Holy Spirit, then how does anyone have, or how can they prove anything without Holy Spirit intervention? How do you prove it? It is not a matter of having the best sounding doctrine. And you know what? A lot of people go to church because the doctrine in the church agrees with, or they agree with that doctrine. I've been there. I've done that. See, you can't prove anything. It is not a matter of having the best doctrine, and especially since God has a way of hiding the truth from the prideful and the arrogant. And so when men are overconfident in what they think they believe, they're probably wrong when they're overconfident. And I have known several people over the years who were sure they had a corner on the truth. You know, isn't it a good feeling just to know that you have the truth? I had a minister tell me that. And you know what? I was so ignorant and at the time that I thought, well, maybe he does. I don't know. However, the truth is who is what and who God is. And therefore, without actually knowing God, you can't know the truth. Because knowing God is also knowing truth. And so no matter how we try to translate, like John 1:11, the word that was that with God and was God was presented to those that confessed that they had God and truth. It was presented to the Jews. And I saw John 1:11 from a totally different, new angle one morning. God is going to give his great words. God has given his great words of eternal truth to his churches, and they trade the truth for things like the Trinity and other doctrines that make Christ into God. And yet, God gives us the key to his will, but to receive a love for God's words of truth, and then God will sanctify and purify because they traded their weird concept for God's words of truth. God's new concept, he will purify people, see? Purify them. In the truth, the word is the truth. And you know what? Until God, this word becomes the truth, we'll never come to a place of being purified. It's not a possibility. Anyway, God bless you. I can't get this machine off again.
What is this? Is this supposed to just sit here?
Yeah.
You late, Bonnie? Thank you for coming.
Can you see if we can figure out how to get it off?
Off?
Oh, the cover's off, Joe. The cover's off.
Okay, stop. You can push stop, right?
Yeah.
Hold. Not erasing it, is it?
I don't know what it's doing. Let's take it over to Corky's right quick and have him put it on. Okay, let's turn it on and then let's do it. Okay. This way to get it on. Okay, now it's on. Now you go this way to turn it off. Then you go like this to stop it.
It won't work for me, Joe. I'm an idiot. Because it's just, it's a demonic, it's a demon.
I have a beat that won't let me learn.
How about minus? Can you push minus?
Here, they just fell on the floor, let them fall.
You can't get them, so let them fall. Just let everything fall. Let them fall.
I don't want that off yet. Recorded. Here, I'll turn these lights on out here. Let's see. The handle fell off. I put it back on, but I don't know how to put it on. Tight.
You've got the keys from the front.
Yep. There you go. Get in?
Yep.
Over to Corky?
Yeah, right, we have to.
Okay.
But we can't turn it off. wonderful. That's a wonderful, 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 wonderful.
Okay, thank you.
From the tenth hour, they were moved.
Where would they be?
The two brethren. But Jesus called them back and said, "I don't know where you are."
Poor puppy just can't.
Hi. Don't know how to turn this off. It's switched on everything and it looks like it's still on. Keep saying REC on it.
Yep.